Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me today. If you've been listening already, if you just tuned in, we're glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate. Mike Cook is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend, soon to be old friend, because I think Mike's got a lot of stuff he can tell us, and we're not gonna get all of it out of him today. We'll have to do a reprise of this interview in the months and years ahead. He's the author of Thrive: Standing on Your Own Two Feet in a Borderless World. Mike is founding partner of Vitalwork, which is a consulting firm which helps companies put their best foot forward in the marketplace. Mike, welcome to the show.
Jim, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book.
Yeah, that was a while coming.
Well, how long did it take you to pull this thing out of you?
Well, I think if you want to go start to finish, it probably from 2000 until 2006.
What was it about 2000 that made this swell up in you and bubble out?
Well, I think as much as anything, Jim, I work primarily as a consultant to larger businesses. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I have been increasingly interested in over time is why the person who works in the larger corporation in many cases operates from sort of a platform of fear in terms of their relationship to their employer.
It's a sad state of affairs, and you know, as you know, we have some pretty significant corporate partners who are our sponsors, mm-hmm. and we love them, and we're pretty picky. I have to tell you, Mike, we're pretty selective about who we allow to sponsor our show. We've actually turned down some folks that we didn't feel, you know, got it in terms of small business and in terms of the way they behave in the marketplace. But I will tell you this. It seems that there can be a tendency in big companies to be where creativity goes to die.
Well, I think in some cases that for sure happens
because of that fear you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely, but I think you know if you look at the annual reports of virtually every corporation, they will say people are our most important assets.
Yeah.
And then if you look at how things operate inside the business, you will have to really scratch your head and say, well, that doesn't look like the way I would treat my most important assets.
A lot of companies, you feel like they think that their most important person is their stock analyst.
I would say, well, yes, and to a certain extent, I think there's a reality about that. I mean,
it is, after all,
a public corporation. Yeah. One of the things that I'm finding that it is helpful to the people that I work with in the larger businesses is for them to come to grips with the reality of, listen, you need to understand that the stockholder in a public corporation is always going to be number one. Mm-hmm. So stop wishing for it to be some other way.
You know, I've been saying recently, Mike, that Shakespeare said, first thing we do, kill all the lawyers.
Yeah.
I think if he were alive today, he'd say, and then the second thing we do is kill all the analysts.
Okay, then that would mean you and I'd be gone, too. So.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not an analyst. I'm not a stock analyst. I don't...
that kind of analyst.
Yeah, I'm talking about a Wall Street industry analyst.
Right.
You know, God bless every one of them, but it's not their fault. But we've got to, you know, companies have got to figure out a way. You know, I disagree with the idea that the shareholder is the most important person. I don't like that reality. I reject it. And I say that the customers of those companies are the most important persons. And see, that's what small business owners get. Mm-hmm. That's the world we get to live in. But here's the thing, Mike. What you just said, what we're talking about right now, is where the opportunity lies for small business. Not only to fill the gaps in the marketplace with customers who want the kind of treatment that small businesses can give them, that big businesses can't always give them, but also to be a vertical partner, an integrated partner with those companies, because they need us to help them with stuff.
Well, I think part of the problem, Jim, and this is, again, I appreciate what you said where you disagreed with the idea that the stockholder is the most important. I, too, disagree with that notion. But what I find in many large corporations is that the senior management is very, very far removed from the customer.
I call that the customer, what customer syndrome?
Right. And very closely related to the analyst.
That's right.
So unfortunately, that has become their customer.
That's exactly right. And that's where we're upside down in the marketplace right now, I think. And I'm looking for those courageous CEOs who are willing to go to the shareholders and say, look, ladies and gentlemen, you're very important to us. We want you to believe in us, but we've gotten upside down here in the marketplace, and I want you to know that we're going to take the next 2 years, and we're going to focus on what our customers want, not be jerked around by the quarterly report and what the stock analysts want.
Yeah, I think, Jim, I think one of the things that...
I don't know. I'm still looking for that courageous person, and I know some people who would like to do that.
Well, I do, too, and I think if you ask many of them, they would say, well, yes, that is what I'd like to do. And then if you ask the question, why don't you, you get the sort of shrug of the shoulders.
It's tough, I'm not dissing any of them for not doing it, because I know it is tough, but it's something that I'll give you a classic example. About 6-8 months ago, Google reported their quarterly earnings, and it was beyond anything any corporation had ever done in the history of corporations. It was an incredible quarter, but they were one penny below what the analysts thought they should make.
Right.
And their stock went down. Now, tell me how much sense that makes.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. And unfortunately, in many cases, what we wind up finding is that sort of treatment translates into the way that people are treated in the organization. And you know, your goal is 100, you hit 99, and it's treated as though you didn't do anything.
But this is one of the reasons. The things you're talking about right now is one of the reasons why it's another reason why I've been calling the 21st century the century of the entrepreneur. These are reasons why people seek out small businesses as employers. They want to work for small businesses where 30 years ago they wouldn't have done so.
Well, you have on your blog on November 7th, I was reading that article, and
you're the one.
Well, I was very tickled by the article because you described so accurately the situation with small businesses, where the small business person is faced with the lean liberty sort of situation.
Yeah.
And the small.
Hold on to that thought, Mike. That was the lean liberty or fat slavery article. Stand by. We're going to get right back with Mike Cook. Stay with us. 20 after. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Having a great visit with our good friend Mike Cook. He's our good friend already after only one segment. He's the author of Thrive, Standing on Your Own Two Feet in a Borderless World. Mike, tell us where your book's available, please.
Well, my book's most easily available on Amazon. It's carried in all the major bookstores. But the place I'd really like people to go is to the website for the book.
Okay.
Which is,
you're allowed to tell us what that is.
Okay, and that's www.thrivebook. So it's all together there,
thrivebook.com. And we can read a little bit more about the book there?
You can read you can read excerpts from the book. You can see a picture of me. You can
worth the trip, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you can decide.
I've seen his picture. Mike, we were talking about corporations in the previous segment, but your book is a lot about the individual and how to really stand on your own two feet. What is it about the 21st century that you think is so different from the 20th century?
Well, I mean, if I I probably lived a good most of my life in the 20th century because I'm 60 now, obviously. The big difference, I think, is that you cannot possibly hope to know enough in this century. It used to be, I would think, that in the 20th century. In fact, when I went to work in 1973, we had people that were, I would say, what you call like information experts or technological experts, and they knew a whole lot. They knew just real, real deep.
And almost everything that almost everything that needed to be known.
About one thing, because nothing was changing.
Right. Things were changing, but they were changing in 12 months or 60 months' time. Today things change in 90 days.
Right. And I think personally the most important thing that people need to know is how to effectively interact with other human beings. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things
Borders.
Right, across borders. And those borders can be borders inside of companies. Those borders can be borders across neighborhood lines. Those borders can be borders across the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's different about this century, because in the previous century, we were primarily an industrial economy. And when people came to work, they were not being hired for all aspects of them. They were being hired generally for their hands
or a
small part of their body.
And their back.
Right, their back, their hands and their back. Relationships, what were those? You know, relationships are what you had on the weekends.
Right.
And now what you find is the basis for your ability to make a living is really the ability to generate trusting, powerful relationships.
In the 20th century, when I started doing this show in 97, I started telling people of all the things that you already know, the three things that you're going to need to be able to do well in the 21st century that you really need to focus on are, one, you got to learn how to leverage technology.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you have to become a better networker.
Mm-hmm.
And three, you have to learn how to develop strategic alliances.
And that's the thrust. That is the fundamental thrust of Thrive, are those two, last two. I'm still in the process of learning how to leverage technology.
It's magical and maddening at the same time.
I mostly feel leveraged by technology, but that's another thing. But I think the networking, which is in many cases not what people think it is. And networking, I think people think of it as sort of glad handing or getting out there and chumming it up. Networking is knowing who you need to know.
Right.
And then setting about intentionally to get to know those people.
And not only having them available to you, but making yourself available to them.
Exactly. And what it is establishing mutuality of interest. What have I got to offer you, Jim? What have you got to offer me? Now let's talk about an exchange, because this is, after all, a business arrangement.
I've learned a very powerful question in the 21st century that I use often, and I like using it, and here it is. And my audience has heard me say this before, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm giving it to you. Use it without attribution. Mike, what can I do to help you?
Yes, and that is probably the critical question in this century, is being able to ask that question and authentically wait for the answer. Authentically wait for the answer. And in Thrive, I talk about understanding that it's your job to, as an individual, to deliver value first before you expect anything.
Mm-hmm.
And understand,
say that again. Say that again, Mike.
Deliver value first before you expect anything.
That's going to be on the test, ladies and gentlemen, so be sure to write that down.
Well, right. and then secondarily to that, I think, Jim, is understanding, well, what is it that I do and who is it that I am that is valuable to other people? And most people these days, especially now, remember, I traffic in the employed person, not necessarily the self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
And for the employed person, the fundamental issue is that they don't understand themselves separate from their job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think they are their job, and their income or their ability to make a living is dependent on a job being out there to do.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than going out there, and you know, as a small business person, you go out there and cause it.
Right.
You go out there and make it
happen.
But
we need more employees to think like the second type of situation. We need more entrepreneurial employees.
I think so, because I don't think there's a prayer in the world, Jim, going back to my initial comment.
Got 20 seconds.
About, about fear. I don't think there's a prayer in the world of fear ever leaving the workplace until people free themselves.
You think there's not plenty of fear in small businesses?
Well,
we're working a high-wired act without a net here, Mike. There's lots of fear out there. Well, hey, Mike, will you come back another day?
Oh, I sure will, Jim.
We got more to talk about. I hope you'll come back. Give us your website one more time.
www.thrivebook.com.
Thrive is the name of the book. The author is Mike Cook. Thanks, Mike. See you next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Quick break. Right back with Lois Geller. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.